Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, may the Lord help us to have a correct understanding of His Word even this morning. And as we read the Word of God, that it may indeed be a living Word to us. Not just here, but also, of course, in the cabin club, in the Sunday school. Praise God. It is the second Sunday in the month, and we would normally either in the evening or in the morning have contend for the faith. It's so important that we understand what God is saying to the church and to the nation at this time. We need to hear what the Lord is saying. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and that it will have the intention that God has, that it will work in our lives and hearts. I want to speak, as God will help me, on the real life. The real life. Will you turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel in chapter 4? John's Gospel, chapter 4. If you have a church Bible, it's page 942. We have sought to be obedient to the Lord this morning. We must always be obedient to Him, but let's hear what God would say and share with us even now. John chapter 4, we're going to begin our reading at verse 43. Verse 43. Now after the 2 days, he departed from Samaria and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when Jesus came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all of the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them at the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. This is the word of God. Thanks to the Lord for it. Amen. May we receive it as the Word of God, the real life. Obviously, we need to see what the context is of these particular verses that we have read. We've already got a hint of it because this is referred to in the passage. But Jesus had been in Samaria for 2 days, for a couple of days. And there, he had met the Samaritan woman at the well. And what did Jesus do? He told her everything about her, but then he didn't leave her, as it were, in despair. He offered her the water of life. He offered her the water of the life. She believed, she recognized who he was. She raced into the city. She flew into the city. And the people came to her. And the upshot was the Samaritans, many of them, accepted Jesus as the Messiah. They believed. Come, see a man. He's no ordinary man. He has to be the Messiah. And they accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Now you see, then what happened? Jesus actually was rejected in Jerusalem. The Jews did not want to know a rabbi. The Jews did not want to know a teacher who dared go to Samaria. The Jews kept a wide berth from Samaria, a very wide berth. They wanted nothing to do with Samaritans. What a strange thing, an extraordinary thing, that the Jew, Jesus of Nazareth, went to Samaria. But you know, Jesus had been rejected by his own people prior to this, and he needs to go to Samaria. Well, friends, of course, the majority are still rejecting Jesus today, and we must pray as if our eyes have been opened and our hearts touched by the Lord, and we've repented of our sins and we've accepted that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one. Salvation belongs to him and only to him. That if we've come to him and we've found new life in Jesus, we must pray for those who are still in darkness. We must pray. We must pray for our family, our friends, the community. Pray. But we must particularly pray for the Jew. We must pray for the Jew. Many are accepting Messiah, but many its hearts are still hardened. Their day will come. God has not given up. He's still saving the Jew. I do encourage you, if you have spare time, if you're not at work and doing family things on Thursday, be at the monthly prayer for Israel. That's at 9:30. We must pray. So from Samaria, Jesus comes to Galilee. Jesus comes. Now, that was a fair distance to travel on foot. Probably 20 miles, maybe 22 miles he traveled. And Jesus once again arrives in Cana of Galilee. That is, of course, where he performed his first miracle, which was, as we read, the turning of water into wine at the marriage feast. Well, what greets him now as he arrives in Cana? Well, there's a royal official, a nobleman, who has a sick son, and he begs Jesus to heal the poorly son. Now let's think about this for a moment, friends. In those days, they had no wireless, they had no TV, they had no internet, they had no mobile phones, they didn't have entertainment as such. So this man, Jesus, whom had been before, that seen the miracle, that heard about other things which were taking place, amazing things taking place, the people are happy because Jesus has returned. They welcome back this miracle man. They do. They welcome him back. Many had seen him turn the water into wine. That heard the stories of other miracles he had performed. Can you imagine the headlines in the New Life newspaper? Miracle Man back in town. Come and meet him. Receive your healing. The people wanted to see something. They wanted to see something. Maybe many wanted to be healed. They really wanted to see something. Can you picture their enthusiasm? Something was bound to happen. The miracle man was there. It's almost, who cares what he says? Let's see some action. That's all Jesus had to say, hey, unless you see signs and wonders, you ain't going to believe. Put on a show, Lord! Put on a show. This would draw the crowds. Why here? Why here preaching? Why go to the Bible study, school of theology, contend for the faith? That's so boring. We don't want to hear what you're saying, Lord. Just see it. We want action. We need to see. After all, we've got to compete with, well, other churches, other faiths. We've got to get people's attention, haven't we, to tell folks that they're a sinner. Well, that's not going to bring the folk in, is it? That's not going to draw a crowd. To preach that we all deserve death, that we deserve punishment, that's not going to win the vote, is it? These people need to see Jesus. But you know, the good thing is Jesus loves them so much. He's not going to pander to what they want. He's not going to just give some superficial words that will make them happy for a day and a half. You see, friends, this is one reason, of course, why healing services and faith healers are so popular, because it does draw the crowds. And praise God, God is sovereign. Wonderful things can happen because God loves. God uses even our own foolishness to display His sovereign power. Hallelujah. But so often, friends, where repentance is preached, we've heard about that this morning. Where we have to change, we heard about it last week. About the need to be able to forgive and let go. Where the Word of God is clearly expounded, where folk aren't given a show, that's boring. We want action. We want to see. Do you want Jesus to speak to you? Jesus has been speaking to some of us this morning, hasn't he? Do you really want Jesus to speak to you? Whatever he wants to say, are we going to listen? Some of us have been listening this morning. Sometimes it's quite challenging. But see, if Jesus is talking to us, if Jesus is talking to us from his word, it's because he's got something better for us. Now, there may be a dying thirst, but there's the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are we going to make him welcome? See, the most important thing which is on Jesus' mind is that we will be renewed in our hearts first. That is before any other thing, before any other healing. He wants our hearts. He wants to touch us. He wants that we will come and lay it all at the cross. Lay our sins. Lay our burdens. At the cross of Jesus. This dear man in our story has travelled quite a few miles. He must have been desperate to make this arduous journey. After all, such a nobleman, such a royal man, he's got servants, we know that. He could have said, hey, do this, do that. People are at his beck and call, make me bacon and eggs now. All of that he could do. But this man has to go and find Jesus. John 4, verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. What was our Lord's reply? Verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. That's tough, isn't it, Lord? I just want you to intervene. Can't you see? This man is desperate. What must the poor father have thought? What are you thinking, Lord? Why don't you just get on with the healing, Jesus? Can't you see this man's desperate? Jesus, do something. Intervene. friends, so many times as we witness, and people want to tell us why they don't believe, why they can't believe in God. They don't want to believe in all this God stuff. It's because in their puny estimation, God's let them down. He's made a mistake. Or why didn't he do something to stop the Holocaust? Can't be a God who loves. Why didn't he do something when that tsunami hit the east? That plane crash. How on earth could he allow that dear, dear father this week to crush his 18-month-old son under the wheels of his car? Why didn't God step in? This is our puny thinking. God is God. But he does want to get our attention. We need to see Jesus, the real Jesus. Realize our lack of, our worthlessness in ourselves, our sinfulness. Realize that, hey, we need life. We need God. We need to learn this lesson. You see, Jesus saw this noble man. He saw this royal person. He knew that he could heal this boy. Jesus knew he could raise him up from the dead. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Jesus is almighty. Jesus had been given all power on heaven and earth. He sees the thoughts of men. Sees your thoughts, my thoughts. He knows what's going on in our homes. Oh, how he wants to bring life. How he wants to bring healing. How he wants to bring wholeness. How did this royal person, this dignitary, how did he see Jesus? I wonder. Did he just see Jesus as a healer? Or did he see him as the Son of God? Did he want just the miracle? After all, he was desperate enough. I can understand that. Perhaps did he want something else? Now clearly the nobleman had heard that Jesus could heal this son before he died. Maybe that's all he knew. Maybe that's all he knew. Maybe that's all he knew about this miracle man. And you know, that so often happens today, even with us. We limit Jesus. We limit his power. We just see Jesus who perhaps can meet our present need, but we don't see him as he is. And what he wants to do, he just doesn't want to heal. He wants to display his power so that we can be blessings to others. So that we can have real life. We need to grasp this fundamental point. This is the true message of Jesus. Before we come to Jesus to be healed, it's much more important that we have eternal life. That we have eternal life. Jesus wants to show. He wants to show you. He wants to show me. He wants to show this noble man that he is God. Hey, what is important to us when we meet with Jesus? What is uppermost in our thoughts as we come to worship on a Sunday morning? Is it, I wonder if this chair's out or not? What is in our thoughts? What do we need to clear out before we come? So that we can worship and thank him for who he is. We need to get out of our comfort zones and see Jesus. Oh, friends, let's learn from the example of the poor persecuted Christians in Saudi Arabia, in China, in India, in other places. They see when they've met with Jesus, they may be going back to a home where they'd be beaten with rods. Cast in prison. Only this past week, we was mentioning it during the week, a pastor from Tamil Nadu, where we're going, was beaten with rods. in front of his own congregation, sent to prison. Then they came back and beat the others in the church. And we are thinking such futile thoughts at times, friends. Thank God he's so gracious, so forgiving. But we need to renew our minds so that we can walk in victory. We can walk in the freedom that he has won for us and have a message of hope to those who are still in darkness rather than me, me, me. God wants to do a new thing, friends. I think Andrew mentioned right at the beginning or somewhere this morning, a breakthrough of faith in this place, in my life and in yours. God can do it if we're looking to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is able. He is the all-sufficient one. He can set me free. And if you're free, you're free indeed. I believe that. I said earlier, come to Jesus, not just to get some bread. That won't satisfy me. I come to him because he is the bread of life. That satisfies. Are we just seeing earthly things or God things? Divine things. See, Jesus' words have power. I know, friends, as we were praying this morning, God was doing something. It wasn't us. God forbid. But God was. That's how gracious he is. He responds to the prayer of the desperate. He's responded to the nobleman. But most of all, he wants us to see Jesus. He wants us to see Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the real Jesus. He wants to display his awesome power and for us to wander in awe at his majesty. Jesus' words have power. There is healing in his words. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you see me, because I live, you will live also. Oh, man, I don't want you to get excited about this. I'm sure when in verse 50 Jesus says to the nobleman, go your way, your son lives, where the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. He was deliriously happy. I think he jumped up and down. I think he did. But then, I wonder as he sort of made his journey home, because he had a fair trek to go, do you think some nagging thoughts came into his mind? Wouldn't surprise me. That's what happens to me often. I wonder if God, if he really meant it. Perhaps he had lots of other things to do and he just wanted to pacify me and get me out of the way. The what ifs. Hey, has God spoken to you? Has God delivered you? Has God given you your new birth and then the devil gets on your back whispering and you commit a sin and you think, oh, the nagging doubts. He goes from faith to defeat, all in his mind. And then his servants come rushing down the lane. Oh no, they're going to tell me my son's dead. No, verse 51, your son lives. He's gone through a trial of faith. I'm putting something into this story which isn't there necessarily, but I'm just trying to help you. Hey, we all struggle in this area, but God wants to lift us up that we see Jesus and don't doubt him. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We've got to recognize Satan. We're not ignorant of his devices. Get him off our back. See Jesus. See Jesus. see Jesus. God says in Isaiah chapter 49, in the day of my favour, in the time of my favour, I will answer you. Who do you think makes God's appointments? Who makes God's appointments? Just be there when he calls. God calling you today? Be there. This means that we are walking by faith day by day. Talking to the Lord. Listening as he speaks to us through his word. This is the true life of the Spirit. Behold, is today God knocking at your door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to open it? Or leaving the Lord outside? I don't know what your circumstances are. I just want you to see Jesus. Jesus is at your door. And he wants to bring life. Who is Jesus to you? Your family? Hey, friends. Your colleagues at work? At college? Your family? Your neighbours? Do they know that you have a relation in heaven? Do they know that you've got a relation living inside you? Do they? Oh, Christianity is a relationship, isn't it? Well, it's a relationship with God. It's Jesus. So do they know you've got a relation in heaven? He's your father. And he's your brother inside. He's not ashamed to call you brother, brethren. He's not ashamed to call you a sister. Sister. I like it. There, Sister Karen. Sister Liz. God's not ashamed. There, Sister Karen sitting there. No, Sister Angie. Go on, man. Where God has his... I don't need your specs. Just need a new bride. All over the world, God has his family. We're brothers and sisters together. We have a relation. Do your family know? Oh, you may talk about the Lord a lot. But have they seen Jesus? Are they seeing the real Jesus? They see the real you. They see the real me at times. But that's the old me and that's the old you. I want to die to self that they see Jesus. Jesus. That they will live. We have received life. And that is what the Lord wants to give to our friends. Those hard nuts that seem so difficult to crack. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Meeting needs is secondary. We need Jesus. People need salvation. Jesus proved who he was with his every word. Oh, that our prayers will be directed more, that people will be cleansed, cleaned up inside out, and then see Jesus. Verses 50 and 53 of the word that we've just read for our text. Many believed. They were healed through his word. Oh, how good is the God we adore. He's faithful. He's true. He's loving. He's saviour. He's healer. He's baptizer. He's our prophet. He's our priest. He's our king. He's everything! So why are we living at such... Why can our marriages be sometimes in a doleful place when we've got life? Why? why can work be so utterly mundane and boring? It could be, but we have life! God's power at work in us, transforming those around us. But they see Jesus. Let's get back into his word. Further on in John, I'm just reading one verse and then we'll close. And may God indeed speak to us from his word. Truly Jesus did. See, we're talking about he did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. The Lord did not want the people just to go after signs and wonders, because that's what an adulterous, that's what the end time generation would do. They'd go after the signs and the wonders. Jesus is doing signs and wonders even today. He said signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. We've got to believe it. We've got to demonstrate it in the power of God. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, life in his name. Have you got life in his name? Have you got life in his name? God is calling you today. He is able to save completely all who come to God through him. The word of the Lord is stop struggling. Trust. Stop struggling. Trust. Yes, I hope you see Jesus as a man, but that you also see him as Almighty God, and who says to you, you shall live. We all go through trials of faith as well. Believer, you will go through trials of faith. We all do. We all have a battleground between the flesh and the spirit, don't we? Well, I want to tell you, listen, what you feed, it will grow. What you starve, it will die. Make sure you're feeding on Christ and his word. And you'll have victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Let's just be still before him. See, friends, he wants us to have, to know this new life, this reconciliation that he has won for us, and that we walk in living faith. We're willing to hear the words of Jesus, the real life of the Spirit that we receive and give out, reconciling the world unto Jesus. Real life in the Spirit. He's come to give you life, and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. The lack is ours. The might is God's.